Good afternoon and welcome, listeners, to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery, and we're from Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com. You can also give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'd be more than glad to discuss with you any of your firearms-related interests or needs and take care of getting you in a training class or see about getting you down to the range to do maybe participate in our Try It Before You Buy It program and select the gun that's right for you. There's a number of different things, courses that we offer. You can check out the website. They have all the listings. I will tell you, though, that due to the recent current events, we have scheduling going into next month for some classes and as far into April for several others. So if you're interested in getting in a class for concealed carry, I know there's a few slots open in the February class, but that'll probably fill by the end of the weekend. And we're already over half full for the March classes, and we've even added a couple of extra sections. So make sure you take a look at the website and see what classes meet your particular needs and your schedule assignments or obligations, and see that you get registered as soon as possible. As we mentioned last week, this is kind of a critical stage in kind of the continued evolution of the whole gun debate. We know that a couple weeks ago, the president issued a number of executive orders that he was going to try to implement, and then several members of Congress indicated they were going to try to initiate another version of the assault weapons ban to be a little bit, be quite a bit more restrictive than the ban that was in effect from 1994 to 2004. And then there were some other proposals for various legislation around the country, including in New York, and some of the draconian things that they've implemented in that state. But I want to tell you that as far as the current frenzy that's going on, it's creating shortfalls in ammunition and in firearms. I want to encourage people just to get what you need and stock up on some of the things you think you're going to use in the recent future, because I just went to a pretty big buyer's conference down in Texas the first part of the week, and all the manufacturers said this is nothing that they're not used to. They experienced it a few years ago. I believe the last one was in 2009, Mark, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 2008, 2009.
Yeah, 2009. It was pretty crazy, and it took several months before things died down. Then there was ample supply, and the same thing's going to happen right now. But I just want to encourage people to pay attention to what's going on. The biggest thing you can do right now in a variety of different forms is to contact your representatives in government and let them know that it's not okay what people are proposing in reference to attacking the Second Amendment. And while I was down in Texas, and I want to let you know that it was a great 3 days, because the people in Texas, they love their guns, they love to shoot their guns, they love to enjoy the shooting sports. I went out to the Elm Creek shooting range, and Mark was with me last year, and this is a tremendous facility that has, get this, 20 individual stalls, at least 20 individual bays, at least 20 stalls wide. Okay,
and yeah, we're talking like, right?
Yes, this is a shooting range that's spread over multiple acres. They have sporting clays and trap and skeet and long rifle. One range is out to 200 yards. Several of them are 100 yards, and then the pistol ranges are anywhere from 25 yards to 40 or 50 yards. But and then they have targets in various configurations. But it was a great facility. What the manufacturers did there is they sponsored an afternoon where everybody who attended the show got to go out and shoot some of the new guns, and I'll tell you a little bit about those in a while. But it was a great range, and I just want to let you know, while we were down there talking to the manufacturers, they said they're strained. There's no doubt about it. You can imagine it's a good time for them right now, because they're at maximum capacity plus. And many of them are stuck with the tough decision. Do we invest in additional infrastructure and personnel and expand, or do we continue to pump out as much as we can and maybe increase production a little bit, and knowing that things are going to die down eventually? Then they have personnel and bills that they're going to have to pay when things slow down. So they're doing the best they can. I really feel strongly about that. They've made some other adjustments to their sales plans, and they're trying to be responsive to the people like you, like our listeners, like our members at the range, like people who have been in the shooting sports for a long time, and they're being responsive to your needs, and they're trying to direct most of their resources at you. And one thing I will tell you, Ruger kind of takes the lead from a manufacturing standpoint. Their director, their executive director, is a very ingenious individual who's done some wonderful things ever since he's been there. Everybody, even the competitors, talk highly of him. And one of the things he mentioned was that there were several people there who were very concerned about the amount of product that's getting shipped out to the various box stores who are just selling it in, you know, as a profit margin. There's not a whole lot of dedication, devotion to the people who, and I'm not going to go into much bad mouthing of the box stores we're talking about. You know what we're talking about. But when you send, 2 million rounds to one chain and they just distribute it amongst their stores throughout the chain or chain wide, and then, you know, people go and buy it either in, you know, small chunks or quantities, that's not really, in our opinion, that's not really catering to the diehard community, and especially in times of need. So quite frankly, the manufacturers are rethinking their distribution plans. And that's why we go to these buyer shows, because they realize that if they sell, 2 million at a time to the box store over the course of the year, that's one plan. But if they took that same 2 million boxes and allocated over 500 distributors who are dedicated to the industry over the course of the year, that might be a little bit better use of their resources. So they're rethinking their distribution plans with you, the end user, in mind. So just keep that in mind, and know that they're doing everything they can to make sure you get the things you want. But I want to mention, take a visit to Ruger's website, and it's just www.ruger.com/protect-your-rights. They've implemented a program whereby you can go on that website, and they, by clicking on that link, again, it's ruger.com/protect-your-rights, which Mark has made a link on our webpage.
I put it on our Facebook page. So if you go to sim-trainer.com/radio and then click on our Facebook link, it's right there at the top.
Yeah, they're encouraging people to let their representatives know that it's not okay, and then let them know how you feel. And they want to, their goal, last year they had a thing to sell 1 million guns by a certain deadline, and they ended up selling 1.2 million guns by a certain deadline. Well, they want millions of people to contact their representatives and let them know how they feel about the current events that are going on, the attacks on the Second Amendment, and voice your opinion. So that's just one way. And the nice thing about that, that's kind of a unified effort. And they've got it set up on a very user-friendly website, very user-friendly link. So take a visit to that website that Mark has linked to our Facebook page, and see if you can help out in this cause, because it is a worthy cause. While I was down there, I will let our members know, and I just have to tell our listeners that there's a tremendous advantage to membership, and the advantage is you get prioritization when it comes to distribution of the items that we receive, everything from guns to ammo to accessories. I've notified my staff. In the past, we've had a few people walk in. They need a holster. They need this. They need a couple boxes of ammo. We have absolute restrictions now that the only thing that only people we're going to sell to are the people that are members of our range or that take our classes. And that's just because you are the ones that drive us and keep us going, and it's a reciprocal relationship, and it's very important that we continue that relationship. And while I was down there, I was able to get into a very large buyers group, and as a result of being involved in that buyers group, the various distributors and manufacturers guaranteed distribution of products here in the next couple of months. We ordered in such large quantities that they're guaranteeing shipment. However, I want to let you know, you're not going to have a whole lot of choice. And I'll give you one example. Everybody wants a black rifle now. Everybody wants an M4, and everybody wants a deal on an M4. But let me tell you something. Forget about the deals. My advice to you is, if you have a configuration that you're interested in, maybe you want a quad rail so you can add some accessories. Maybe you want a collapsible stock, or, you know, since some of the people are just obsessed with the chrome line bolts and the chrome line barrels and whatever you want, let me know. I can make you an offer. I'm going to tell you what the price is going to be. It's going to be a fair price. If you fish around on the internet, If you had, you know, months ago, you'd probably find a better price. Now you're going to probably find that many of them are going to be much higher priced. And right now we're going to have limited capacity. So if you have something that you want, you have something on your wish list, make sure you specify, but realize you're not going to get the specified features that you probably want because there's not enough out there for the manufacturers to send, you know, a black rifle with a quad rail and a chrome line barrel and a collapsible stock and a forehand grip to everybody in the chain. They just are producing as much as they can. They're sticking to their high, obviously their high profit, but their high production versions, and that's what they're going to ship out to us, and they're going to distribute them to all the manufacturers.
But the other good thing about our operation is that we have an armorer that can add all that stuff. So if we can get the individual parts that you're looking for, even though you may not be able to get the gun in that configuration, that's a configuration that Doug can put together.
Yeah, and the thing I would advise people, don't be rushing to get anything other than a standard gun. The people
Absolutely.
That think that it is a better, we found about 95% of the people who think the things they add to their gun are going to make them a better shooter, it probably goes in the reverse, and it certainly very seldom helps them. So very few exceptions when you get involved in this, especially at the entry level, or if you've been in it for a while, don't think that a whiz-bang gun is going to be the answer. I would strongly encourage you to take the Advanced Handgun Series, because my promise to you is when you complete those five classes, you'll be as good as you probably can be, and it's simply going to be a matter of how much you want to practice and if you want to venture out and challenge yourself by participating in our competitive shooting league on Tuesday night. So rather than going and spending a whole lot of money on the guns, the guns you have probably are very good. Let us teach you to shoot them very well, and I think you're going to have a whole lot more satisfaction.
But if you weren't able to get one before, or you have never looked in the direction of a particular gun like an AR-15 and you're looking for that, we will also have classes later this year, usually during the springtime and the fall is when we have our tactical rifle class. And our beginning tactical rifle class is a great way to get started with the M4 platform if that's something that you're interested in.
Yeah, and there are quite a few different variations of M4s, but as long as you stay with one of the major product lines, and some of the new manufacturers actually are putting out great products in addition to the standard Armalite and Colt and Bushmaster and DPMS and Rock River. Some of the newer companies like Core 15 and I can't think of the names right off the top of my head. Daniel Defense, they've been around for quite a while, but people
Wyndham.
Don't always know about them. Wyndham, which took over the old Bushmaster factory when they moved in with the conglomerate that they're with right now. But they're all real good. And when we do blind testing on those guns, they all work the way they're supposed to. So don't be too concerned about it. And get yourself a gun that you'll be able to use, and we'll help you get to the point where you want to be competence-wise.
We need to take our first break for the hour, so if those of you who are waiting on the line, please hang around, and we'll be back after this break. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery in with Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. Let's go out to the phones and talk to Ron, who's calling from Sydney. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a suggestion on how to get the guns out of the hands of gang bangers and criminals in general. How about having random spot checks, much like they do for alcohol, drunk driving, have random spot checks, searching people in cars for illegal weapons? Would that be feasible?
Well, it would certainly be feasible because the constitutional case law that governs spot checks, whether they're for alcohol, drugs, or other contraband, is pretty straightforward, and it does not prohibit law enforcement from running checks as long as they follow the protocols that have been established. And what you have to do, you have to set predetermined numbers of cars you're going to stop, how many of those that you stop you're going to search, how many that go through that you're not going to search, and you have to be consistent with that protocol the whole way. Otherwise, it's obviously a Fourth Amendment infringement. The Supreme Court has set a precedent. It stemmed from DUI cases in the 90s, but then it's extended itself to searches for other sorts of contraband, mainly drugs. And as of this point, I'm not aware of any specific that are directed at drugs. But when the Supreme Court determines the legality of a Fourth Amendment issue, they're going to reference those sorts of cases that have already been established and those precedents that have already been established. So I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility. But quite frankly, I just want to tell you, being in law enforcement as long as I did, I don't think that that is going to be the solution. However, that might be an option in certain neighborhoods. Now, I will tell you that there's a lot of restrictions due to the, quote, profiling, unquote, that police have been accused of engaging in for many years. And along those lines, I just want to tell you, and it's no secret, we don't just profile people for the sake of profiling people. We don't profile in the sense of we look at certain individuals and we say that they're likely to be criminals. We look at areas and individuals within geographic areas and behaviors that are consistent with the criminal activity that we're investigating, and then we go ahead and we just basically engage in good observation skills and make stops of people who meet multiple characteristics that indicate that they may be involved in criminal activity,
which is another way of saying fit the profile.
But exactly. But profiling has a negative connotation that really isn't accurate.
No, I know.
If it's the same way in the airports when the TSA are looking for people that might likely or more likely than others, I should say, would be involved in hijacking airliners. They have to be observant to certain characteristics. They're obviously not looking for every individual, and based on the incidents that have occurred over the last 20 to 40 years, there are certain classifications of individuals that have committed those acts disproportionately. So obviously they're going to restrict their searches to people who meet those general parameters, and then they're going to specify additional parameters as they go on. But there's been a lot of negative connotation established or attributed to profiling in general, but it's just good law enforcement in most cases. It's not.
Well, they set up a checkpoint for alcohol. They stop everybody, regardless of who they are, how old they are, what color they are. And I haven't drank and drive since they started that program. I think it would be a good idea to do that with illegal weapons that show the sincerity and integrity and honesty of Senator Feinstein and others like her.
Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out and talk to Leon, who's calling from West Carrollton. Leon, welcome to the show.
Hello. According to TV2 News and the Miamisburg News, last Saturday there was a shooting incident on Skyview Drive close to here. And it says, West Carrollton man fends off would-be robber. I haven't got any details yet, but when I do, I will send them to editors of gun magazines and publicize it if it was a home defense situation.
Well, the preliminary report says the news was that it was, but interestingly enough, that doesn't get nearly the publicity it should as what the opposite would have gotten. And right after the break, we'll talk about that particular topic.
So we are going to go out to the news center now for the news at the bottom of the hour. If you'd like to be part of the show, you can call the studio at 457-1290, and we'll get you up in the queue as well. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. You're listening to this program brought to you by SimTrainer. SimTrainer is the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center, and we have many programs available. If you're interested in finding out more about what you can get at SimTrainer, you can go to our website at sim-trainer.com. sim-trainer.com, and you'll find a lot of information about the classes, our range calendar, the various different events and things going on down there, as well as you'll find out about this radio program. And if you go to sim-trainer.com/radio, you will be able to find the archived versions of the show, link to our email address, which is radio@sim-trainer.com. You'll also find our podcast there. So if you have a podcast device, if you download the shows and listen to them offline, you can sign up for the podcast and have them automatically downloaded to your device and listen to them when they're posted. I try to get that done during the week between shows, and we're currently caught up. We also have a link to our Facebook page there, so if you'd like to find out more information or interact with the show, the Facebook page at facebook.com/simtrainer is a great way to do that. Let's go right back out to the phones, and we'll talk to Wayne, who's calling from cable. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Well, hello. I just have a few questions. Someone who is like myself, who's a novice, basically, of used shotguns before, but nothing, not a handgun. I just wonder what the process is to go through to ultimately be able to use a concealed, get a concealed carry license. Where do you begin, and is it better to take the classes or go with private, and how all that works?
Well, our recommendation to you would be you come down and you either take a private lesson or go through our basic handgun class, first of all. An option also is to take our first shots class, but if you're gearing yourself right from the get-go to go into concealed carry, we'd recommend that you learn about the gun, find out the gun that's right for you, and then go to the class, because unlike how it's promoted, the concealed carry class is more about the serious responsibility of owning, carrying, potentially using a gun than it is about shooting the gun per se, learning to shoot the gun. The state set minimum training standards, which includes 2 hours on the range, which for someone like yourself, quite frankly, isn't going to be enough time to get you to a level of competence and confidence. That's the big thing. We want people to leave our training being competent and confident, because the reality is, if you take your class on a Saturday, you submit your training certificate along with your application to the sheriff's department, within a month you could get your license back, and then you would decide to carry. Something could happen in that very short period of time as soon as you start to carry, and we want you to feel confident and comfortable that you're going to be able to defend yourself if the situation warrants itself. So therefore, I would advocate that the first thing you do in our case is that you come down, you either take a private lesson or you take the basic handgun class, so you can check out a number of different guns, learn how to shoot them, find the one that's right for you, practice shooting with that, and then maybe go out and make your own purchase of that particular firearm, and then take the concealed carry class. And quite frankly, almost everybody that does it that way, it's a breeze, our course of fire, even though it's more structured than most, it's a breeze for the people who complete that prior training. Does that answer your question?
Yes. So take the basic handgun or go with a private, and with that you have to call and make arrangements for the private lesson?
Or you can register. With the private lesson, you just send an email to the website, and we'll get you scheduled. And right now, we're running about a week to 2 weeks behind because of the high demand. But we'll get you scheduled for that private lesson. Often, it's just one-on-one, but sometimes, just due to scheduling, we put two, three, up to four in a small group lesson. And mm-hmm. it's kind of just like a shortened basic handgun class. You get the same material, but with four people, obviously, you can imagine it goes a lot quicker than if there were 10 people, like in our typical class structure. So if the class structure fits your schedule, that's one way, or you could always do a private lesson to better accommodate your schedule.
Okay, any reading material that you would recommend?
There's a lot of reading material out there, but I will just tell you, based on experience personally and in the way we do the training, the material is good. There's a lot of good stuff out there, but what we want you to do is we want you to learn the fundamentals first, and then you can pick and choose the reading material based on your skill set, because there's a lot of stuff out there, and some of it's contradictory. Even though it's good stuff, if you learn one way and you read an article that kind of advocates something different, it can be a little bit confusing. For example, the one that comes up often is the difference between sighted fire and instinctive point shooting, which to you, that doesn't mean a whole lot right now, but that some people, they say, well, I was reading in the internet the other day that you're supposed to do this, this, and this. Well, it's different. It's different. So that's why we want you to come and get the basics first, and then you can go from there.
And that's absolutely true about the shooting portion. Now, the one thing about preparation for the concealed carry class, if you'd like to go get the Attorney General's guide book for concealed carry, that's a good read. It's not too long. It's been improved several times, and that's a great way to prepare. You can get that on our website at sim-trainer.com and go to the civilian training under the concealed carry, and there's a link to it, or you can go right out to the Attorney General's website, ohioattorneygeneral.com, I think, maybe .gov. I don't remember exactly, but that link on our website will get you there. And then you can download that book. It's a PDF file, and you can download it and read it. And that will also give you a good preliminary kind of overview of the things that would be covered in the concealed carry class when you go to do that. And it also talks about some of the other aspects of firearms ownership.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Thank you for your call.
Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out and talk to Howard, who's calling from Brookville. Howard, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing fine.
Hey, I wanted to address the Fourth Amendment issue, because I have fairly strong opinions about it, but I respect the law.
That's good.
From what I understand, especially with traffic stops for drinking and driving, it would definitely be different with weapons. It seems to me you'd need to have probable cause before you would stop somebody. And considering law enforcement's position, if they had a tip that somebody was on their way to perform an illegal act, that would seem to me to be probable cause. But to just arbitrarily stop people for spot checks would seem to me to be completely unconstitutional.
Well, let me just explain that to you in a nutshell without going into extensive detail, because believe me, it's a very complicated issue. But let me just summarize it simply here. The Supreme Court, in a whole line of cases, has authorized the use of sobriety checkpoints and checkpoints for other criminal activities under certain very specific circumstances. And the one is alcohol, where you have a location that is known for high incidence of alcohol, drunk driving. Police departments are authorized by law, case law, which is pretty much spells out how the Fourth Amendment will be carried out, just like it does for every other law. There's case law which defines how the police can act in certain cases. And in the case of DUI checkpoints, and it would be the same as if it was a high drug area or a high gun trafficking area, they'd be authorized in setting up a checkpoint, in other words, funneling all the traffic on that road to a certain location, stopping a designated number of cars, and all this has to be predetermined. For example, they have to say, we'll stop every 10th car. We will test every person that we stop, or we will test every third person that we stop, unless we see very obvious visual indicators. Then obviously, if he's one of the people that we've pre-authorized to stop, then that person would be pulled aside anyway. Okay, so the court says, as long as we set out very specific parameters ahead of time, we are authorized in conducting those kinds of checkpoints. The Fourth Amendment says you shall be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. And what the courts have said is that given the areas that these places occur, given the high incidence of criminal activity, that it's reasonable for the court or for the police under very specific circumstances to implement checkpoints searching for criminal activity. Now, I have to tell you, there's a whole lot more that goes into it. And just for our listeners, I could spend days, and Jim Long and our attorney and Steve Pearson, somebody who works with us, they could give you very expansive legal case law that you could research, and it would bore you. But I just want to assure you that that's the parameters that have been set governing the use of checkpoints in those sorts of areas. Now, I'm not aware of any up here in reference to guns, but I assure you, down along the southern border, there are jurisdictions down there who have set up those sorts of checkpoints in areas where they're having high incidence of illegal gun running, not just random ideas that somebody thinks that somebody's doing this or that or the other thing. They have to specifically state specific incidents involving certain classifications of individuals in designated locations before they can set those checkpoints up. That make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess just to expand upon that a little bit, I guess the terminology between the search and a checkpoint is where I'm trying to delineate the difference.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's no difference. If you remember that the Fourth Amendment governs search and seizure, and a stop of an individual is a seizure. A search would be a intrusion into the vehicle or onto the subject's person. So there's really no difference. The Fourth Amendment governs searches and seizures. It's typically seizures and then searches. So just stopping an individual is a Fourth Amendment seizure, and it's governed by constitutional standards, which are established by case law. Okay, so there is no difference between search and seizure.
Howard, thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go on and talk to Derek, who's calling from Kettering. Derek, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Love your program. Glad to be on.
Thank you.
I wanted to get back to the gun control debate.
Okay.
And it's just like everything else. They throw together laws, more and more laws. But I see this all the time. I work in the security field here in Dayton, some of the particularly bad areas. And we see the same people over and over for the same things. I know the guy who has multiple weapons charges, and he's not in jail. They give him probation over and over again, and they just keep going and doing it. So throwing more laws out there is just putting another Band-Aid on the hole. It's not doing anything.
And it's going to apply restrictions to those people who are law-abiding, because those aren't the ones who are doing the wrong things anyway. There are more than enough laws that could have been used to charge people who are doing wrong things and to put them in jail and get them off the street, and they're not being used that way.
In every criminal incident, every active shooter situation, the laws are already in place to deal with those circumstances. It's circumstances that we have to deal with above and beyond the law, whether it's mental health issues or those sorts of things, that are more applicable to have some bearing than adding additional laws. I think I heard in the case of Sandy Hook that individuals facing up to 40 separate counts, not 40 counts of the same charge, but 40 separate potential charges. So there's all kinds of criminal laws out there that govern all these acts, whether you rob a bank and use a gun, or you go into a workplace and you shoot up your former crew, co-workers, whatever the case is, there's plenty of laws in place.
Well, here's news.
Absolutely.
Shooting people is already illegal. Killing people without shooting them is illegal. Attacking people, robbing banks, that's illegal, and it doesn't matter whether you use a gun or not. And so all of these things, breaking into a school when you're not supposed to be there, that's already, all of these things are illegal, and so making something else more illegal isn't going to stop it. Maybe we should just pass a law against murder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm aware of a case that just happened over the weekend in my jurisdiction where an individual basically shot up a house. He was a multiple convicted felon who acquired a gun in a yet undetermined manner, and he took it to a location and shot up the house, and the case is still under investigation. But he was a criminal, knew he couldn't have one, didn't have one, somehow acquired it,
got one illegally.
Yeah. And that will be found out down the road, I'm sure. But there's another example of just where you can have laws upon laws, and it's not going to stop the criminals from doing what they want to do. Thank you for your call. It's very
I know of another situation where we had actually seen a guy get arrested for carrying a concealed weapon. He had drugs on him. A week later, the same day he got out of Montgomery County Jail that morning, we stopped him and we found a gun on him. The same day, less than 12 hours after he was out of jail.
So what you're telling us is criminals don't obey the laws.
Wow.
It's a strange concept.
It's a novel idea, isn't it?
It's sort of like the definition of the term criminal. Derek, thanks very much for calling the show. We need to take our last break for the hour, so we do have a couple of more folks on the line. That means there's a couple lines open for you at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting From the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting From the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Shooting From the Hip with Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro, and let's go right back out to the phones and talk to John, who's calling from Shelby County. John, welcome to the show.
I'm here.
John, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show. How can we, we've got just a few minutes left, so we want to get through as many people as we can.
Well, you're passing through Toledo over here in Shelby County. We just came back from the Dayton Gun Show, and I guess my attitude on the opinion of gun owners these days, I'm glad to see that they're interested. I think maybe some people are making some unwise decisions with the prices they're paying, but I'm uplifted to know that more members, from people who were uninterested before, who should have been interested.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think we do need to get a lot more people interested, and that's this has certainly brought attention to the question.
That friends who are hunters don't own AR-15s, and I always tell them, the Second Amendment's not about hunting; it's about the right to own a gun. And somebody loses their teeth one day. You lose them all the time, really. Over time, and hold.
John, I'm sorry, your phone is breaking up, so we're going to move on. But I completely agree, and the Second Amendment absolutely has nothing to do with either self defense or the going hunting or sporting use and so forth. It's about defending the Constitution and defending our continued right to be free. Let's go out and talk to Bob, who's calling from Kendry. Bob, welcome to the show.
I was at a large sporting goods store recently, and I was looking for a particular brand of rifle. They didn't have it, of course, but the guy told me that a background check was required for all guns. I was under the impression it was just for handguns.
No, it's a rifle. Anytime you have, the only thing that it doesn't apply to is if you have a muzzle loader, a primitive weapon that cannot be converted to use cartridges, then those kind of black powder muzzle loading rifles can be transferred without a background check. But everything else, handguns and rifles that you purchase from a federally licensed firearms dealer must all go through that FBI background check.
Okay, now one of the things that's going to come out of all this is more invasive background checks. Do you think that background checks are really gun registration?
No.
No, let me just explain, as I mentioned to the listeners last week, that once you run a background check, when they come in to buy a gun or you buy it from that box store, they're just verifying that you're authorized to buy the gun. You don't have any prohibitions, prohibited offenses at the state or federal level. And the information is retained by the gun store, not by the federal government. And it can only be accessed if the gun is involved in a crime or the gun has been stolen and they want to trace it for purposes of trying to retrieve it or determine the likelihood that it was, in fact, involved in a particular crime. So, as of right now, no provisions for registration, no indication that it's headed that way.
In fact, the background check doesn't even include sending the information about the gun that you're purchasing, only just identification information about you so that they can do that quick background check, and then it's deleted almost immediately. And the fact that every time you go to purchase a gun, if you're delayed or denied and then you appeal and you're allowed to transfer, they have to go through that exact same process every single time. So there's really a lot of evidence to say that there's not any of that information retained. Rob, thanks for calling the show. I'm sorry to everybody that we had to leave hanging, but we are flat out of time. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.